And as you know, God very seldom leads you into comfortable places, because you don't grow in the comfortable places. To really grow, you need pressure. The tree that grows the strongest is the ones that's twisted by the wind. And it gets the bark ripped just a little bit, and it gets the fibers in the wood strained just so. The more pressure that you go through in this life, the stronger you become. Calluses are some of the toughest skin on your body. But you don't get those calluses without blisters. You don't get those blisters without trauma to the epidural surface. How you like that with big doctor words? Amen. And so, but those things, they work, because it when you get a good callus base on your hands, then you can handle an axe all day long, you know. It doesn't bother your hands. It might bother your muscles. Or even working out. My sweetheart over there, she's my sweetheart. I better be careful, because my wife is my sweetheart. But she's my sister, and I love her with the whole of my heart. To get her in shape to run a marathon, right? She's got to put herself through some torture. She thinks it's fun, but I've seen folks running, and it ain't fun to me. You know, some folks like it. You know, some folks don't. I'm one of the don't people. But I don't need to run anywhere, you know.
Constructive stress.
And Jesus was telling us in chapter 15 of John, about keeping his commandments, about abiding in him, about allowing the Father to trim off the dead parts of our life, that we might be made full and holy before him. And we've gotten to this verse 18, that he starts telling us some things about real persecution. That if you're really going to walk with him, Jesus, remember, he did say, pick up your cross and follow me. And allow him to do work in your life. Picking up your cross and dying to yourself is part of a spiritual persecution. But in that spiritual persecution, if you walk in the righteousness of God, this world is going to hate you. They're not going to like you, just like they didn't like Jesus. Jesus only came to love, heal, forgive, and offer eternal salvation to people. But they hated him. They hated the way he handled himself. They hated, although all he did was touch people and raise the dead and give life and hope to the hopeless, they hated him for it. And if we walk in his ways, in his statutes, in his righteousness, the world's going to hate us for that too. If we look like Jesus, don't expect the world to love you. The world will love its own, right? But we're not of this world. And Jesus is telling us here in verse 18 of chapter 15 of John, said, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Right? Kind of lays it out simple there, doesn't it? We're told in 1 John that if we are friends with the world, we're an enemy of God. You can't be both sides. You cannot serve mammon. And you cannot serve the Lord. You cannot serve this world system, and you cannot serve the Lord, not in the same time, and not do either one of them justice. Well, you do the world justice when you walk with the world, but you do the Father justice as you walk in the righteousness of God. But when you walk in the righteousness of God, do not expect the lost people around you to understand it. Don't expect them to like you. Don't expect them to say, oh, I'm just so happy, you know, about you, especially those who you knew before you were saved. They will despise you. They will hate you. They'll say all manner of evil against you falsely for his name's sake, simply because you're no longer their friend. It's not that we don't love those individuals, but oil and water don't mix. You know, righteousness and unrighteousness, holiness and evil, they do not combined. They don't gel together. You might take oil and water and stir it up for a little while, and it'll look like it's together for a minute, but quick as that stops, there's a separation between the two. And Jesus said, remember in verse 20, the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they had persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they knew not him that sent me. There's a real key there. Remember when Israel was wanting their first king, and his name was Saul, and Samuel was hurt about it in his heart, and God said, don't worry about it, Sam.
They rejected me.
They haven't rejected you. They're rejecting the God that's giving them the righteousness. So when the world hates you, it's not really you, the individual, that they hate. I mean, if you have a brother or a son or somebody that that has loved you their whole life, but when you got regenerated, when you got converted into the image of God, they started hating you. Well, they don't hate you, the individual. They hate the God, the Spirit of God that lives within you. It's the light that shines in their eyes that they can't stand. It's not the flesh that you're wrapped in. It's not the memories that they had of you. But it is because we're no longer of the world. We're no longer of the darkness. We've been converted into light.
The God of this world, too.
Yes. Yes.
Who hates God.
Amen. Yeah. It is the God of this world. Yeah. That they're still, well, we were enslaved by the God of this world at our birth. We were all sinners. We were all trapped in the unrighteousness of this world. Amen. Until Jesus had us born again. That's the whole thing about being born again. When you're born again, you're called out of the darkness and into his light. And then we're called to walk in the newness of his light. There should be evidence of his righteousness, his covering over the individual. I still look the same as I always look, you know, well, older and wrinklier, heavier. There's a lot of other errors that we could put in there. But the basic me, the physical side of me, really hasn't changed. It's just gotten older. Right, right. But the inside of me has changed immensely. Mm-hmm. And those who used to be my friends when I was of the world no longer are my friends anymore. They hate the sight of the Spirit of God in you. Jesus said, if they hated me, know that they're going to hate you. The servant's not greater than his master. So as Christians, learning how to embrace the disdain of the world is a huge thing. It's hard to do. It's hard to when your parents reject you. It's hard when your kids reject you. It's hard when your brother and sister no longer talk to you. Because you represent something that they can't stand. And it's not you they can't stand, but the Spirit of God that lives in you that they can't stand. And they will persecute you. They will deliver you up into the council. They will do those things. The closer we get to the scenario of Matthew chapter 24, 25, the closer we get to that time, the more and more this world system is going to hate you. The darkness is going to rise. And as it rises, they will outnumber us. And that's okay. I would rather, if God's on your side, and it's just you and God, you are the majority. Yeah. And you are the. And even if they slay you, yet will we trust him, yeah, as Job cried out. Even though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Yeah. And so all these things they will do unto you for my name's sake, because they knew not him that sent me. They're hating us because they don't know the God who created them. Romans chapter 1 says, because they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, and God gave them over to a debased mind. And I've said this a lot of times, that then it talks about sexual immorality. But there's other things besides sexual immorality that people get into. Because they knew God, they didn't glorify Him as God. They started hating everything that is made of God, created of God. They start telling children that are made in the likeness and image of God that they're made in the likeness and image of a mistake, some single-celled amoeba a million billion years ago, that they're part of an ape, that they're not part of you. In fact, one of our grandkids, because when I was telling this spew to them several years ago, they said, no, no, we're not from apes anymore. We're from some rat mammal. Right? So it's even, it is
a lie.
It is a lie.
Science falsely so cold.
Yeah,
right. Is science falsely so cold? And what it is, it's the darkness that's in them, they perceive as light. And the deepness of that darkness just causes hate. And Jesus said, they hate the Father that sent Him. That means they hate the Spirit of God that's within us. All right? And if I had not come and spoken unto them, they would have had not sinned. But now they have no cloak for their sin. Praise God, Jesus came. Amen? Now they have nowhere to hide. They slew the Son of Righteousness. They slew the Son of God. They slew the righteous, holy embodiment, incarnated God manifested in flesh. Now, He came and He didn't come to, in fact, He said, I didn't come to condemn you, but I came that you might have life and that you might have life more abundantly. Jesus didn't come hurting people. He came lifting people out of the darkness, out of the depth and the depravity of their own hearts and minds. And they hated Him for that. And now that He's come, if He had not come, they would have had an excuse, right? They would have not sinned. That's what He said. If I had not come, they would have not sinned. They would have not known that they were doing unrighteously. Before Jesus came into your life, before you were born again, before you were recreated in the likeness and image of God, you didn't really understand, or I didn't really understand the depths of the debauchery that my life was surrounded in. I was just comfortable in it. I just lived in it. It was just who I was. And it was the nature of mankind. It was my nature. But God came and He redid my nature. So before, I wouldn't have even known that I was in sin. I was just doing things naturally, like a dog doing what dogs do, or birds flying in the air. It's just a natural thing for humans to do, live in sin. But He did come. And He did come, and He showed light into the hearts of the unbelievers. He showed grace and mercy and gave people a way of escape from the sin that so easily entraps us. So if He hadn't come, they wouldn't have known they were in sin. They wouldn't have had sin because you didn't know it. Right? Now,
He did the things that no other man could do.
Yeah. Amen. All things. Everything He did. If you can't believe Him for His word, believe Him because of His works. Right? And He said that right after He fed the 5,000, 4,000, right?
I don't know how you see people come back to life and then you want to go back and tell the Pharisees and stuff. He just brought a man back to life. I mean, that to me is madness. That's sheer madness to me. I can't even fathom that.
Yeah.
I think they were. I see it. I'm not disagreeing. I just see it as they had such a
hatred.
It was but like a self righteousness to them in a mental blindness.
Yeah,
that they had fixed in their mind, no matter what He did or said, they were not going to be convinced.
I mean, that's the hardness of sin.
That's a hard darkness.
Love of power.
Yeah.
All right.
Pride, like.
Pride
is not Jesus.
I imagine if you brought somebody back to life, you'd probably fall on the floor and faint.
Amen. Yeah.
Well, you know.
Because you see it on the other side of the ones that He healed. There,
he's
like, I don't know how He did it.
Yeah.
He couldn't, and right. Now I can. And,
yeah. I was blind. Now I see. How did He do it? I have no idea. You know,
I know that
God was blind before He did it. He left before I could see. You know, I have no idea. And so those things, know that the world, that is the One of the evidences, thank you, Lord, for this. One of the evidences that you've been created in the image of God is that the world disdains you. All right? If the world does not hate you for your stand in Jesus, you might not be in Jesus. Right? You may not be born again. There, if you can stand and be all chummy brotherhood with the world and the world system, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, the pride, lust of the flesh, if you can embrace that and the world embrace that with you, you may not be, in fact, I would dare say you're not born again. You have not been created into the image of Christ yet. You haven't surrendered your will to His will. And so you look just like the world. And the world loves its own. That's what Jesus said. If you were of the world would love you.
I think you should at least be struggling.
Yes.
In the fight.
Amen. In the fight.
We all struggle with that.
Yeah.
Not all of it, but at least some of it.
Yeah, you. Amen. And well, I didn't say that we get over it, because I'll never be sinless. But every day, like I've said a million times before, I try real hard to sin less. I'll never be sinless without sin in this life.
Comfortable.
Then. Comfortable. Yeah. When I do sin, it bothers me. Yeah. Right? I can't just relax and say, wow, should I sin all the more that grace may abound? Well, God forbid is what he tells in Romans. Yeah. You know, God forbid. And so, but if he had not spoken to them, they would have not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. Once light comes in, the darkness leaves. You have no covering for it anymore. There's nowhere to hide. When they hear the truth of God's love, God's grace, and they reject that, there's nowhere that they can run and say, well, I never heard. They just openly, full-hearted, rejected the love, the power, and the grace of God and hated him because he loved them and hates us because we represent him as his ambassadors on this planet. And so, and they are out to kill us. My wife read this marvelous book about the rise of communism in every single nation that has risen. What's that in? They're inhuman or?
Unhumans.
Unhumans. That's the name of the book, Unhumans. And so, but it shows you the hatred of mankind against the light of God. All right, it's called communism or the Democrat Party or the Republican Party. All right. I don't think, again, I'm not trying to get in political battles here, but to me, I don't think there's a lot of difference between the two of them. You know, they arrange their letters a little bit different, but their theology and doctrines that they both hold to is the love of mammon rather than the love of God. You know, they are paid and they vote how they're paid. They live how they're paid. All right. And so, and when you stand against them, when you say, no, if you're born a male, you're male until you die. All right? Same thing with a female. Right. children, human beings do not have the right to change the sexual orientation.
Well, they were assigned that at birth.
Yeah, or the power.
Or the power.
They don't have
power. They do not. And I don't care what the scientists say. I don't care what the politicians say. I don't care what the schools say. It is an abomination to the creation of God. And when you say that, the world hates you. This is what I'm speaking right now is called hate speech because it's against the theology and the doctrines of this present age.
One of the reasons they hate us, they hate the Christian, is because they have a picture of their kingdom.
Yes. Yep.
This is going to be our kingdom. We're going to have this kingdom. And who do they see as the major snare to their kingdom?
Us. The Word of God. The ones who follow the Word of God.
The people who speak it.
Yeah.
The people who believe it. That's one of the big reasons why we have got to go.
Yeah.
To them.
That's why.
We are a snare to their kingdom.
Well, what is holding back the evil of this very present time? The Christians, the ones that have the Holy Spirit in them.
Man, we're like antiquated. You guys are antiques from somewhere. Yeah. Get out of our way.
Yes.
Would you get out of our way?
We're progressive. We're moving forward and killing our children by the millions. We're moving forward with the AI because you ain't smart enough to think on your own.
We're going to live forever. It's prosperity.
Yeah.
It's, you know, ice cream cones and lollipops, and you guys are in our way.
Rainbows and unicorns, baby.
That's it, man.
Yeah.
Moving forward.
What do they realize?
Going
the wrong way.
What's coming is going to be.
That's the right.
Absolutely.
They're going the wrong way, and hopefully, Lord willing.
That's what they don't know.
Yeah.
Because that's, you know.
That is the wickedness of this present age.
Jesus hasn't come back yet is because the last person's not saved.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The Lord willing, some of them will be saved.
Sure,
amen.
Because where they're going ain't going to be good.
The thing about it, Josh, is I don't hate them.
No.
I do not hate those who are... my heart breaks for them because they're caught in the snare of Satan in the core of wickedness and they don't even know it.
You got to separate the sin.
Sin from the sinner.
Person.
Yeah.
Love the person.
Yeah.
Not
you know
what they do.
Yeah, absolutely. Because there, I was about ready to get into some personal stuff.
Yeah.
Amen.
We just changed your direction.
No, you didn't. Because this is the way that it needs to go. Because we all have people in our hearts, in our lives, that we love, we have compassion for, we hurt when they hurt. It hurts me to see my stepson caught in the snare of alcoholism to the point that he is.
Yeah.
It hurts, like your brother. I'm sure it hurts you to see.
I think it's God. That's it.
Yeah.
That's about it. I think it's in Proverbs that he gives us the desires. Well, there's not a lot of spots, but a few spots in all the scripture where it talks about Jesus, he was moved with compassion.
Oh,
it was that's I'm kind of wrestling with that a little bit. Not just that's what moved him to action, compassion.
Yeah.
You know, and I think
he puts
that, yeah, but it's, it, yeah, yeah.
Your compassion.
Compassion's a little different, but.
Yeah.
But I think he puts that desire in us.
Yeah.
To have compassion on a situation or a person that other people would be like, I really don't care. They're a drunk, who cares?
Yeah.
They want to die. Let them drink until they die.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
I'm not trying to change their will. It's just hard to not, like, see the direction and want to maybe try to, not change, but help, I guess.
Help,
I
know, yeah. It's kind of like watching a slow-motion train wreck.
Yeah.
Right? So the cars are crashing into one another. The people are screaming. Glass is breaking. The smell of diesel everywhere. Oh. And I want to save them, to show them that there's... And you knowing you're in the train and you're in a safe spot because you're surrounded by the power of God. And you know the only exit. You know the only way out of this. And these people are crashing together and they're becoming a bloody hurt mess. And you're saying, fuck out this way. This is the way out. This is Jesus Christ. Trust him with your whole heart.
Or they're on that road. They're on, you know, they're on the, unfortunately, the broad way.
The broad way,
you know, when you're on the narrow way and you see it, and if people die on both sides, but it's like you're going the wrong way.
Yeah.
The righteous understand judgment.
Yes.
You know? As in the wicked do not or something.
Yep.
The righteous understand.
Understand judgment. And,
yeah.
And the wicked, they just don't get it.
No,
yeah, there's a word that's used. I can't call it to my mind right now. Yeah.
In the time we've been, a lot of people here, but in the time that we've been together and married, the amount of people we've seen die. There's been a few Christians, but the majority on the other side, most of them are not.
Right.
And you could see in their life, it's like, man, they're on the wrong road, going the wrong way. They didn't even know.
Yeah. And that's just it. They didn't even know. Well, and we didn't know. When we were walking in darkness and groping for light, we had no idea that that's where we were. But since Jesus came and spoke to us, he covered us. He showed us the light. He showed us righteousness. He showed us the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man goes to the Father but through me. And for some reason, by the work of the Spirit of God, we got it. We grabbed it.
Right.
We understood it.
That's a miracle.
It's a miracle. And but the godly will suffer because of our love for the ungodly, right?
Go figure.
And that's what happened. That's what's always happened. there's a scripture in my mind. It's 2 Timothy verses 9 through 13. All right.
What chapter?
Chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 9 through 13. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall manifest unto all men, as theirs also, also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, the manner of life, the purpose of faith and long-suffering, charity and patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Amen. They're going to come against us. They're going to persecute us. We're going to have hard times, but God's going to deliver us. Praise God for that. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's a promise. Yeah, so it, just wrap your heart and mind around that. American Christianity has not suffered persecution like this. Because you go back and look at how Paul was treated in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. Right? You see how he stood up for holiness and they stoned him and they beat him and they cast him out of the town. Right? All those things. And so verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith in which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. So, and then all scripture, this is how we know these things, because all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfectly and thoroughly furnished in all good works. Amen? So, we have God, we have His Word, and the world's going to hate you. And it's okay. It's okay. Do not try to be loved by the world, because the world's whole job is to despise you. The world's whole heartbeat is to stand against what is good, what's righteousness, and embrace that. Embrace that, church. A lot of folks don't want to embrace that because it's uncomfortable. I don't want to be hated. I want to be liked. Well, you're either going to be liked by the world and hated by God, or hated by the world and liked by God. I want to be liked by God. So let the world hate me, right? Let the heathen rage. Let them say what they're going to say. Let them arm themselves the way they're going to arm themselves. Let them do what they're going to do. I'm going to love them, right? In the middle of their mess. And as they persecute you and lead you into prisons and stuff. It tells us in chapter 16 of the same place, these things I have spoken unto you that you should not be offended. Oh, so Jesus is telling us those things that we wouldn't be offended. Amen. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. That's true. This is 16 of John, John 16, 1 and 2. And these things they will do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. So they don't know God. They don't know Jesus. You know Jesus. You know God. You have the Comforter. We're going to get back to the promise of the Comforter here in chapter 15 here in just a second. Because he says in verse 25, but this cometh to pass that the world might be filled with the word might be filled that is written in their law. They have hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, woohoo, amen. We have a Comforter, amen. When the Holy Spirit is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye shall also bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. All right? There's a couple of cool things there. When did you start walking with God? Mm-hmm. Before the foundation of the world. Now that sounds crazy. You say, I wasn't born then. But God says in his word that he knew you before the foundations of the world. You were, he knew the bloodline. He knew when Kevin and Josh and Christy and Justin was going to be born. He knew long before you were going to be born that you're going to be born.
Salvation.
Yes. Amen. Your heritage is salvation. And he knew you long, centuries before you were, your mom and dad ever thought of getting married and making you. He knew you, and he knew where you were going to go. He knew how you were going to surrender to him, and he had a place prepared for you, and he had the Comforter already marked out for you. I know that's going hard into predestination, but you are predestined.
With the Calvinist smile.
Yeah, with the Calvinist.
Well, there's some
truth. There's some truth to it, you know? It is scripture, yeah. It
says our works are.
Yeah.
We're in his will.
Yeah. Now, I don't know who is and who isn't. Because if you would have known me 20, 30 years ago, you would have said, that cat cannot get saved. That guy, hey, puppy. That guy cannot be saved. That guy cannot know the Lord at all in any sort of way. That fellow, hey, Woody, I got a puppy with me. And so anyhow, that fellow, there's no way in the world that he would ever come to know the Lord because he is wicked. He's a drunkard. He's a drug addict. He's a thief. He's a liar. And amen, I was all of those things. I was all of those things. But now when they see me, you know what they have to call me? Child of the Most High. I'm no longer those things. I'm no longer a drunkard. I'm no longer a liar. I'm no longer a thief. I'm no longer a hater. Amen? I'm a child of the Most High God. His Spirit lives in me, on me, through me, works in you. And it's not about me. It's about you guys too. But I can talk about me in that sense because I know me. I mean, I recognize you guys, but I don't know who you were 30 years ago. You know, I have no idea. I know who I was, right? I knew how wicked I was in those days. I know how righteous God was that he saw me even then. Even while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. He saw me. He knew me. He called me out of his darkness. And he says, you know what? There's something in Joshua. There's something in Kevin and in Debbie and in Justin. There's something in you, Bonnie. There's something in you, Judy and Skip. There's something in you that is yearning for holiness, for righteousness. And it is the Comforter, the Spirit of the Most High God, and the Prince of the power of the air of this world hates that. He hates that. He hates that you were called out of his influence and put into the influence of God. So he has his dominions. He has the drunkards, the drug addicts, those people who hate God. He has them simply to hate you because you want to share light into them. I always get this picture in my mind. When, say, you're in a nice deep sleep, right? And somebody comes with one of those halogen lights and just shines it right in your eyes. It bothers you, doesn't it?
Sure.
You know? In fact, it might even make you mad, especially if you didn't know the light was good. Well, that's what we do. When they see us, if we're really walking as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, we are that kind of a bright light shining into the darkness of their heart, of their soul, and it just makes them mad. And that's okay. That's what we're supposed to be. Let them curse the light. Amen, Poppy. Let them curse the light.
Well, I think our spirit witnesses to theirs.
Yeah.
Something that we can't even, if you could see it, you just see it dimly, but you can't really see it, but you can see, you put two people together, and they, like dark, they just don't mix.
Yeah, they just don't mix.
Yeah, they don't want nothing, they don't want to talk to you, they don't want to be around you. Mm-hmm.
Well, we're living in a physical world. And we don't understand what you're talking about. This is spiritual, not the dynamic that's going on. and we don't even understand.
No.
Like the implications of all the, like, why am I alive today? I mean, it's just, that's a serious, why would I be alive today? And, you know, I think I probably shouldn't be here.
Yeah, amen.
But I'm here because,
but I'm here.
Because God looked down, he knew mm-hmm. where I was going to be and that I was going to receive, I was going to become a child of his. So he didn't let me perish.
Yeah. Amen.
And
yeah.
Why do other people perish? Because God in his foreknowledge,
yeah.
It's not his priest-like, it's his foreknowledge. He knows who will become his.
Yeah. And so, I believe that everyone, every single one who has broke the matrix, that has been yeah. born into this earth, every single one of us have heard the voice of God at one time or another. That God has called you and he said, this is my perfect will, this is my permissive will. My perfect will is that you know me, that you love me, that you walk in the holiness that I lay yeah. for you. But my permissive will is that you have a free will, and if you don't want to love me, you ain't got to love me. If you don't want righteousness, you ain't got to have righteousness. If you want to have yourself, then you can have yourself, but you won't have God and yourself. There's only room enough on the throne of your heart for one Lord, and it's either going to be you, your way, or God and his way.
Somebody else perishes because God and his foreknowledge knows.
Yeah.
Never become mine.
Right. Now, we don't need to be haughty in our mind when these things happen. When they do evil against us, 1 Peter tells us, this is 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. So 1 Peter, actually verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one for another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful and courteous, not rendering evil for evil, nor railing for railing, but contrary, blessing. Oh, man. Isn't it hard to bless somebody when they're doing something nasty to you?
Yeah.
Amen. Blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good, and let him seek peace and eschew it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Man. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, that they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Amen? For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Amen? So when your loved one starts saying horrible things about you, take it on the cheek. Right? Take it on the cheek. It's okay. It is all right that they don't like you. It is okay. Don't render evil for evil, right? When they say nasty things about you, don't say nasty things about them. All right, so the heathen are raging, right? They're saying, they're hollering, they're kicking, stomping their feet. Okay. All right. Go for it, right? I mean, okay. I have a protector in Christ Jesus. And he tells me that all things work for good to those who love him and are called for his purpose. Yeah. Right? So all things are going to work for good. So those who are coming against you, saying all manner of evil against you, don't render evil for evil or railing for railing. Give room to God, right? That he will avenge you. Who here wants God to fight your battles? Amen? I would much rather, when someone is doing something nasty to me, that God step in. See, my vengeance will never result in God's righteousness. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But God's vengeance He will have a point and a purpose and a solution. See, I'm using a stick. This is a stick off the apple tree out back. So anyhow, I use this when I read because I jump lines and stuff, but I meant to put it down. I realized I had it in my hand. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, well, I didn't want you to think, because there's some folks, well,
he's preaching with a witchcraft stick in his hand.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's a twig that came off of the apple tree. All right? And I got it sharpened on one end so I can point with it. But anyhow, as I was doing that, that's what came. If somebody of the witchcraft world would come in, that's what they would think. Right? And so, anyhow, let them do what they're going to do. We're going to be troubled on every side. You know that? It tells us that in 2 Corinthians, that on every side, that they're going to come against us. They're going to trouble us on every side. And just to hold on to the righteousness of God when they do that. I always, and this is hard for my flesh because I've always been a fighter. I really have. My whole life, before I knew Christ, and even as I knew Christ, up until a certain time of my life, you know, you said you wanted to fight. First thing I did is punched you.
Yeah.
You want to fight? Then let's go. You can talk about it all day. Yeah. You want to fight? Let's roll. All right, we can do this. You might win. I might win. But one thing's for sure, you're not going to invite me to that party again.
Yeah.
Right? But God, He's changed that in me. Now, don't get me wrong. That part of me still can flare up. Amen, Seth? Right?
No.
Yeah, it can. You know?
You mean you haven't arrived?
I haven't arrived yet. But one thing I do is I forget those things that are behind and I press forward to the high call of Christ. Right? I have not made it there yet. But I have a high expectation that there will come a day that will happen. I have a high expectation for those that say all manner of evil against me falsely for His name's sake. He will take care of that. God's going to deal with that. And I really hurt for that individual that God takes vengeance on. Because when God takes vengeance on an individual, read Psalm 109.
Yeah, I know.
That is a frightening psalm. Yeah. And it is David calling out that God would move against His adversaries. And I mean,
It's not a politically correct
portion
of Scripture. Seriously.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if I've ever heard anybody preach from Psalm 109.
Well, you're about ready to.
Because it's brutal.
Yeah, it is. This is brutal.
Yeah.
This isn't what you think, peaceful, loving Jesus, you know. But this is Jesus. This is God. This is the prayer against wickedness, Psalm 109. Hold not thy peace, O God of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are open against me, and they spoke against me with a lying tongue. They have compassed me about with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. For my love, they are my adversaries. But I will give myself unto prayer. All right? This is how you fight back. When they come against you, give yourself to prayer. All right? And they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. Set thou a wicked man over him, and let Satan stand at his right hand. When he shall be judged, let him be condemned. Let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few, and let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless, and his wife a widow. Let his children be continually vagabonds and beg, and let them seek their bread also out of their desolate places. Let the extortioner catch all that he hath, and let the stranger spoil his labor. Let there be none to extend mercy unto him, neither let there be any to favor his fatherless children. Let his prosperity be cut off. And in the generations that follow, generation following, let their name be blotted out. Let the iniquity of his father be remembered with the Lord, and let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. This is when God steps in and fights for you. So when we pray that God would step in and fight for you, you need to read this psalm and understand what that looks like. When God moves against, when he stands up for his children and he fights against the evil that come against his children, God snuffs out their memory from the face of the earth. That's a God I can fight with. Not fight against, but stand on his side. Amen. That's the God I want as my shield and my buckler. That's the God that his rod and his staff, they comfort me. Amen. Let them do what they're going to. Verse 16, because he remembered not my not to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and the needy man, that he might even slay the brokenhearted. As he loved cursing, so let it come unto him. As he delighteth not in blessing, so let it be far from him. As he clothed himself with cursing, as with his garment, so let it come into his bowels, and let water be like oil in his bones. Let it come unto him as a garment which covereth him, and for a girdle wherewith he is girdled continually. Let this be the reward of mine adversaries from the Lord, and let them that speak evil against my soul. But do thou for me, O God, the Lord, for thy name's sake, because thy mercy is good. Deliver thou me, for I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I am gone like a shadow, when it declineth, I am tossed up and down as a locust. My knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh fainteth of fatness. I become as a reproach unto them. When they look upon me, they shook their heads. Help me, O Lord my God, and save me according to thy mercy. So, I might as well finish reading it. That they may know that this is thy hand, that thou, Lord, hath done this. Let them curse, but bless thou. And when they arise, let them be ashamed. But let thy servant rejoice. Let mine adversaries be clothed with shame, and let them cover themselves with their own confusion as a mantle. I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yea, I will praise him among the multitude. For he shall stand at the right hand of the poor, and to save him from those that condemn his soul. We have a mighty God. We have a mighty God. And Jesus said, know this, that if they hated me, they're going to hate you. And when they hate you, just ask God to stand in front of you. If he is really your shield, that shield of faith we're talking about in Ephesians, right? That shield of faith, that shield of righteousness, that helmet of salvation, the belt of truth, you stand under those. And Psalm 23, where it says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. Praise God. Let the heathen rage. Let them do what they're going to do. Let them holler and kick and argue and fuss and fight and say all manner of evil against you falsely for his name's sake. Because I have a God that will arise. I have a God that will defend. I have a God that will stand and defeat the foes. Amen? Yeah. So what can they do to you? Send you home early? Right? So they come against you and they slander you. They might even murder you, throw you into prisons.
I'll give you your milk money.
Is that what they did to you in school, man? Give me the milk money. Yeah, so. Jesus said, I've told you these things that you be not offended. He told us that they are going to hate us, so don't worry about it. He told us that they're going to come against us. They're going to kick us out of the synagogue. They're going to say all manner of evil against you falsely for his name's sake. Okay, they're gonna make up stories and lies. That's what they're going to do. It's okay. Open your Bible to 109 and you need to be reminded, right? Because that's what it's there for.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pray that prayer against my enemy because that, I don't want that. It's fearful. I would hate to see God move on an individual with that kind of
hatred.
That kind of defense.
It's imprecatory.
It's like what you would do if you saw a stranger beating your child.
Right.
Right? So you're driving by in your truck and you see this goober, right? Grab your little child, your son, and he's pounding him with his fist. He's choking him with his hand. He's spitting on him.
Yeah.
What would you do, Dad?
Right.
You would come out of that. You would park that truck. You would come out, and every ounce of energy that is in you, you would stand and defeat the foe,
right.
or die trying.
Right.
When the evil comes against the righteous, God will step in. He will step in.
Good shepherd.
Good shepherd. Good shepherd. Amen. He is a good shepherd. You got something you want to read there?
They couldn't even send us home early if we're in his will.
Amen.
But I do think, I've mentioned this a couple of times, I do think we have two death dates.
Yeah.
Being in his will and not. And there's a few spots. It's, I think, mentioned in Proverbs. I don't know if it's in Psalms. I'm pretty sure it's in Proverbs, but it's also in Ecclesiastes, just one spot. It's chapter 7, verse 17, and it says, "Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time?"
Amen.
Yeah.
The foolish,
you can die before
your time. Yeah.
Referring to two death, one birth, and the second's when you're born again. But two death dates, not the spiritual part.
And what causes that? Foolish and wickedness.
Being outside, like my uncle, prime example. That other guy, Jeff, too many that we heard about die, drunk on his motorcycle.
Yeah.
Smashed into a guardrail. That was not God's will for his life.
Right.
My uncle, situation. It took him off life support. Spent his whole life drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Who he served in that is he's dead, so that's, I don't know. And I'm not trying to put my focus on other people, but we've seen a lot of people die. It's just, you know. My point is, just in my thought, were they saved, and two, were they in God's will for their life?
Right.
And then, for me, am I?
Yeah.
Because I can't do anything about other people. But
right.
Am I in God's will for my life?
Amen.
You know what I mean?
Right. And I know men that were 65 years old living righteously and they still died.
Sure.
They didn't make the 70 years, right?
Yeah.
Because sometimes that happens.
Yeah.
But if you're foolish, if you're a drunkard, if you're abusing the people of God, if you're cursing God to his face, if you're fighting against the righteousness of the Holy Spirit,
somewhere you're not supposed to be.
You're somewhere you're not. Amen.
Something you're not supposed to do.
Yes.
And you die.
That's your job. That's what you did. God, because God came to seek and save the lost. He came to show righteousness and life and hope to that fella caught in the snare of Satan.
And I thought about the three boys.
Yeah.
Shadrach, Meshach. He said, even he can deliver us, even if he doesn't.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, we're still not going to.
Yeah.
And he thought he was going to, you know, they probably thought, they weren't sure if God was good. They were going to obey. Everyone else thought, these boys are going to die.
Yeah.
And they threw, that thing was so seven times, it killed the guy standing on the outside.
Yeah.
But they didn't die then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They threw him in there.
Yeah.
Seven times. That thing was probably 5,000-6,000 degrees.
Yeah.
7,000 degrees. Threw him in there. No, he looked in. What did he say? Right? I see
three.
Three and one like...
the Son of God.
Son of, man or God.
The Son of God. Yeah. One is like unto the Son of God. And didn't we not throw three in? And I see four men walking in the fire. And the fourth is like unto the Son of God. Oh, praise God.
Didn't even smell like smoke.
Yeah. And the only thing that burned off of them were the things that the world had them bound up by.
And Nebi got right before the end of
yeah,
the
life. Yeah, he did. Yeah. Yeah, he did.
I think he's...
Well, when he came off of the 3 years of acting like an animal, when after he said, look at all the things that I mean, and then he humbled him and made his hair grow out, and he ran in the all fours in the woods, stark naked. Yeah. You know? And when he came out of that, he said, hey, Dan, your God's the God of everything. I'm going to worship him. Man, I saw what he could do. When he stepped in, when God stepped in on Nebuchadnezzar's life, he humbled him, he broke him, he drove him out into the wilderness, that when he brought him out, he might glorify God.
Like a werewolf or
yeah.
something.
Yeah, long hair, long, mad, he lost his mind.
Hair like others of
them. Yeah.
What's that about? I mean.
Well, dreadlocks is what I think of.
Oh, man.
You know?
Yeah.
His hair was long and matted and just unwashed, unkept.
Walking on all fours.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a beast. And so God did that to him. God did that to him, to humble him.
He loved him.
Yeah. Yeah.
He brings that stuff into people's lives.
And those folks who choose to hate God, God will love them until the very end. You know, you're talking about your uncle passed away and that other fellow that's drunk and passed away. And if my stepson doesn't change his ways, that's going to be his life. That's what's going to happen. We've seen it over and over and over. Bill Haynes, in my personal life, it's the same devil, the same evil spirit that was in him was in Sean.
Yeah.
Right? It is the same thing. And it is that eternal hatred of righteousness and loving alcohol, loving
sin,
drugs. It's sin.
Sin leads.
Amen.
I mean, we're all going to die. Sin leads to death.
That's the payment of it. Yeah.
Death.
Not, but that just a physical death because we're all going to die. All right. But I want to be dying praising God. Right. Amen. That's why I want to die. I don't want to die cursing God. Or loving the world more than I love God. Anyhow, I love you guys. I really do. This is midweek. A pretty deep subject for midweek. But we got a whole week of evil facing us. It's coming, buddy. It's coming. And if you're not prepared for it. I looked over there and this new puppy dog, he is sound asleep.
Snoring.
He's snoring over there, and he's like, yes.
That must be nice.
It must be.
Yeah,
you know?
He's a good boy.
And so, anyhow.
Praise God.
Yeah, amen. And actually, praise God that God gave that dog to you, to y'all.
He would have just died a horrible death.
He would have died a horrible, slow death.
I was hoping to see Bobby before we had... when we were working, had a chance to talk to him a little bit.
Yeah. Well,
you
don't. Oh, yeah. He's already that's come and gone, right? Nothing you can do about that. But God had mercy on that little bitty puppy, and because He knew the heart of that dog has a good thing. Who wants to close in prayer? Get us out of here. Go ahead, brother.
So your word declares that if, you know, Jesus said, if the world hate you, know that it hated me before it hated you.
Yeah.
So, Lord, I guess it's, why should it surprise us, Lord, that the world is in the situation it is. And Lord, we're not a friend of the world.
Hmm.
And to some, we will be their friend, Lord, and we will come alongside them, Father, and they will turn to the King, and they'll know Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. And Lord, help us not to be surprised by the state of things, Lord, and even Lord, prepare us for what's coming our way. Lord, I pray for that, Lord. We need to be prepared. We need in our own hearts a preparation to take place in our hearts. And Lord, I pray that you fill us with faith. Fill us with faith. Fill us with love and fill us with hope. And for the days that are coming, Lord, may we be true to you. And may we not be surprised at some of the some of the things that are going to take place before our very eyes, Lord, and will only make us know, Lord, that your word is truth, and that we are your children, and it should, like Jesus said, we should not let these things surprise us. We shouldn't. We should not let it be. We should not let it overly concern us, Lord. We should keep looking to you, knowing that these things have to come to pass, and judgment has to happen. Therefore, Lord, we need faith.
Yeah.
We need to have faith. We need to keep looking to you, and we need your love, Lord. It's your power. You are love, and love is your power. And Lord, we need hope. We need that shelter of hope for the days that are coming. And I pray you bless us, Lord, and I pray that you work in our hearts, Lord. May we be more and more conformed to the image of Christ and like him, Lord. Not just, Lord, in social gatherings and in times when we come together, Lord, that we can show how spiritual we are. But help us, Lord, to be with you when nobody else is around.
Yes, Jesus.
And that's when, Lord, we really show what we are. And may we, Lord, may you be the meditation and the hope and the desire of our heart, Lord, at all times. 24/7, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.